The gospel reading this morning is the long passage of the story of Jesus' appearance for the third time to the disciples. And I've truncated it and just chosen a little section of it because it can get very confusing without a lot of explanation. So this is the part that I think is essential for today. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And after this, he said simply, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. For those of you who followed in the Bible this morning, I skipped over a part in the middle of that reading because it really represents not so much the words of Jesus, probably the dialogue was exactly as I read it, but there's a paragraph in there that suggests that Jesus says to him, "When you were young, you did what you wanted to do. When you grow old, somebody's going to tie a belt around your waist and lead you where you do not want to go." And the author suggests that this is Jesus saying to Peter, predicting the way he was going to die. And I skipped over that because that's kind of what we call an interpolation in the scripture. That is evident that the New Testament church writing this scripture out in the year 90, which is 60 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, they put that in as kind of an explanation. But the real words, if we want the real words of Jesus, are as I read them. "Feed my flock, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, follow me." Okay? So with that, I'd like to take that nugget and work with that. We could spend at least 3 weeks on the passage because there's so many things in that passage from chapter 21, but someday in a Bible study, maybe. But for today, it's been said many times, and I'm accused myself of doing this, that when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" three times, one of the reasons is to kind of seek forgiveness for Peter for the last time he denied Jesus three times. And so the three denials brings his act of faith three times, and that makes everything square and fair. And I think there's probably a point to that, but if you look at the scripture closely, that has nothing to do with it. But it's a nice thought that homiletically we've used many times. The other thing that we can do with this is look at the word love and understand that in the time of Jesus, during the Greek, whether we call it the Greek influence in that area philosophically, there were different words for love. The Hebrew only has two, agape and philia. But the three words, or the three ways of talking about love, there's narcissistic love, which is a love for myself. There's philia, which is a love of friendship, kind of a relationship that's casual and yet somehow committed. And the third is agape, which is a totally unconditional love. And if we look at it from that perspective, we might say the first, "I love you," or "Do you love me," is about narcissistic love. Do you see the importance of yourself in me? The second one would be philia, which is, do you see that we are together, united in so many different ways, and that we are, let's say, honorable to each other? And the third, agape, the third time he says, "Do you love me?" it could be asking, "Do you love me unconditionally?" That is, without any reservations, without any conditions. But that, too, doesn't really fit the gospel because the Hebrews don't have that kind of a breakdown. But if we look more closely at the gospel and understand the gospel of John and what John is trying to do in the dialogue between Jesus and Peter at various times through that gospel, we find perhaps that there's a way of understanding this that really has application to us. I think it comes down to basically, if we say, the first question Jesus asked, do you love me more than these? He said, do you love me more than these? And Peter responds, you know I love you. More than these. Is Jesus asking him, do you love me more than these people that you're with? Do you love me more than the fishing and the lifestyle that you've had all these years? Because remember, at the beginning of this passage, Peter, in disappointment of what's going on, says, I'm going back to fishing. And they all jump in the boat and they go back fishing because all is lost in their mind, even though they've already seen Jesus twice. So figure that one out. We won't go there. That's why I skipped that part. But is he saying, do you love me more than everything you have known so far? Why would he ask that? Because ultimately he's going to ask him to leave it all behind in order to become the evangelist, the apostle, the one who is going to bring good news to the rest of the world. He needs to be committed so much to that that the rest is all behind him. And so Peter says, yes, I do. The next time he says, do you love me? Perhaps he's looking at the idea that Peter is given the authority by Jesus' words where he says, if you do love me, then tend my sheep. Now, feeding the sheep is different from tending the sheep. Feeding the sheep has to do with nurture, with comforting, with keeping safe, and all the rest. Tending the sheep has more of a sense of direction, of leadership, of authority. Of course, Jesus is not talking about sheep here. Jesus is now talking about this community of followers. And so he says, tend my sheep. That is, be responsible enough to lead these people where you know God will lead you to lead them. Do you really love me? And he says, yes. He says, then tend my sheep. And the third time he says, do you love me? And he says, now feed my sheep. I think the question there is, now that we've gone through the semantics and the external stuff, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Do you really identify with me enough to represent me? Because only if you are there can you nurture this flock the way it needs to be nurtured. And he says, yes, I do. And then the response to Jesus, of Jesus to him, is very simply, follow me. That is, become me. Do what I have taught you to do. Become my presence, because in doing that, you bring the presence of God to the world. Now that's something I think that's challenging in some ways. But if you underline the whole thing, what Jesus is looking for and what he gets from Peter is what I think is the essence of being a real disciple. The essence of discipleship is a devoted and dedicated love. Not philia, not narcissism, not agape, a devoted, dedicated love. That means that whatever happens, priority in my life is going to be this love from which I draw all else. Now, to understand that better, Jesus here uses the thing of the sheep. We talk about the shepherd all the time, especially in the Old Testament. David was a shepherd. A lot of people were shepherds when they began their ministry after God's calling. The use of the idea of a shepherd so eludes us, but if you understand that in their mind, the history of Judaism is loaded with people who were called to be shepherds and who did a lousy job. In fact, some of the greatest leaders of Israel did a lousy job, except that they were redeemed at some point by the interaction of God and the world around them that they touched. If you're going to be a shepherd, says Jesus, don't be like the Old Testament shepherds. Those leaders are condemned and bemoaned over and over and over again throughout the scriptures because they became superior to the sheep. They saw themselves as more important, and many of them had the people that they were supposed to be leading serving them and taking care of them, as opposed to being servants of all those people. A good shepherd, we have the example of Jesus, lays down his life for his sheep. The ultimate question that Jesus asks of Peter today when he says, "Follow me," are you willing to do everything you can, everything in your power, to lead in humility and justice and with compassion the people put in your charge, even if it comes to a point where you lay down your life for them? That's kind of an outrageous demand, but think back to that time when the church that wrote this gospel was being persecuted for what they believed. Many of them died, hundreds of thousands of them died as entertainment for the powers that are. And so the gospel writer has the audacity to say to anyone who is interested in following Jesus, would you really do this? I know when I was a kid, I always thought I wanted to be a martyr. I really did. It's the easy way out. You're martyred, you go right to heaven, right? No matter what you've done in your life, immediately you go to heaven. I felt such a sinner all the time. I figured the only way I was going to get there is be martyred. So when they talked about the communists coming and stuff, I wasn't worried. I figured I'll just put my hand up and say, go ahead, take me. We don't think in those terms anymore. I certainly don't. But there are people even today in the world who are being martyred for what they believe. Good people, faithful people, not just Christians, but being crucified and murdered because of what they believe. Would I be able to do that? I don't know. But I think when all is said and done here, we just welcomed new members into the congregation this morning. And we, all of us, covenanted ourselves to each other to witness to the presence of God through our ministry, not only to each other, but to the world, however we reach out to the world. That's what this is about. It's doing this in humility. It is not feeling superior to anybody. It is not making ourselves probably the epitome of virtue in terms of Christianity or any kind of belief in God. We never are the ones who have the answer. We are always the ones who are seeking. And it is only in openness to the world around us, through whom God speaks, that we discover our next step. As committed to each other, we promise together to be open to the Spirit's guidance, who will take us sometimes where we don't want to go, but ultimately bring us to a place where we experience God in so powerful a presence that we can't help just being ourselves and changing the world we touch. We are, in effect, brothers and sisters, all leaders. And today, in the very simple dialogue between Jesus and Peter, something very clear comes through. Jesus knew who Peter was, and Peter knew who Jesus was. And it's that simple. We know who God is revealed in Jesus. And certainly God and Jesus knows us. Our challenge is to live that way in everything we say, everything we do, in all the circumstances of our lives. That is discipleship. May it be so for each of us and all of us. Amen.